Children and teens among 12 dead in Golan Heights attack that Israel blames on Hezbollah, raising fears of major escalation. CNN. Israel-Hezbollah tensions threaten to derail Gaza ceasefire talks. Al Jazeera. Israel vows Hezbollah will pay heavy price for deadly strike that militants deny launching. 12 children teens killed on soccer field in Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. Military says. CBC. Israel hits targets in Lebanon. Washington Post. What do all of these headlines have in common? These headlines all highlight the extreme anti-Israel bias of the news media. The examples shown above are from outlets which are not new in their anti-Israel bias. But in a context of this event, it is especially surprising. What do we know? According to both Israeli and U.S. intelligence sources, Hezbollah launched a number of rockets toward the Golan Heights. The rockets which were launched toward the Golan were Iranian-supplied. Hezbollah initially claimed responsibility for the strike. However, they quickly withdrew this claim. Lebanon has the highest population of Druze in the world, likely why Hezbollah quickly withdrew their claim that they struck Majd al-Shams. The Hezbollah strike murdered 12 children and young people and injured 29 others. The rocket struck a park where young children were playing soccer in the evening. This marks the most significant attack on Israeli soil since October the 7th. Where did it happen? Majd al-Shams is a small town in the very north of Israel, close to the Syrian and Lebanon borders. And if you ever have the opportunity to visit Mount Hermon, you drive right through this town on the way up to the Hermon ski resort. Who are the Druze? The Druze are a minority Christian Arab population in Israel. The Golan Druze, unlike their co-religionists in Israel, are in majority not citizens. However, many of them are starting to become citizens of Israel. And this is primarily out of fear that accepting Israeli citizenship would endanger their relatives across the border in Syria. The Druze in the Golan region were citizens of Syria until the 1967 war, when Israel captured the Golan Heights from the Syrians. After years of Syrian aggression, the Druze in Israel enjoy the same rights and freedoms as all other citizens of the state, and many are proud citizens of their country and serve in the IDF, and they actually have fought on the side of Israel since 1948. So picking these headlines apart, CBC in their headline uses the phrase militants to describe Hezbollah, which is a recognized terror organization. And this is in an attempt to create a moral equivalence between Israel and Hezbollah. CNN and CBC use the language of military says and attack that Israel blames on Hezbollah. The use of this language gives the reader the impression that there is a question as to if this was actually Hezbollah. Instead, the reader could be misled to question whether Israel and the U.S. are telling the truth about the origin of this attack. However, we know from multiple authoritative sources, including U.S. intelligence sources, and most recently, the Canadian government, that this attack was actually from Hezbollah, with Hezbollah having claimed responsibility for it initially, and then repealing it later. CBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera's headlines all focus on the Israeli response to the attack, not the impact of the attack itself. And this careful framing cleverly transforms Israel from the victim to the villain. The Washington Post, perhaps the most egregious of the four, ignores the murderous Hezbollah strike altogether and frames the situation as Israel hits targets in Lebanon. And that is paired on the front cover of the Washington Post with an image of the victims of Majd al-Shams, of those children there. And this would lead the reader to believe that these are not that these are victims of an Israeli hit on Lebanon rather than that of a Hezbollah rocket. And so the onus is then placed on Israel to prevent a regional escalation into all-out war, and also to prevent the end of ceasefire negotiations, which are already very rocky between Israel and Hamas. This anti-Israel, anti-Jewish bias in its extremity is what will eventually bring all the nations against the only Jewish state in the world, only to be utterly destroyed at the hand of Christ. Revelation 16, verses 13 to 14, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." The events following October 7th and the ongoing war in Gaza, combined with the constant anti-Israel reporting, has created an environment whereby it is socially permissible, even popular actually, to be openly anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, and anti-Semitic. This rhetoric has become popular on both the left and the right of the political spectrum. X, formerly known as Twitter, is filled with nearly constant vile anti-Semitism. And it's not just Twitter. Other left-leaning platforms such as Facebook or Threads or Instagram propagate the same, if not only from a more left-wing stance. And we've become accustomed to the anti-Semitic spirit of the political left over the past decades. However, the new rise of anti-Semitism on the political right has taken many, I think, by surprise. And this includes popular right-wing voices, which have questioned their continued support of Israel. And examples of this would be Tucker Carlson or Candace Owens, and other voices, and other more extreme voices. And we have to recognize that the frog-like spirit is coming out of the voice of the false prophet, so it should not be surprising to us as more and more voices of the Roman Catholic Church and those under its drunken influence echo this spirit, which brings the nations against Israel in the end. And it would be expected, actually, that they would reach their crescendo as the day of judgment approaches. So to conclude, Revelation 3, verse 11, actually, Revelation 3, verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And the Bible has many examples of individuals that didn't hold fast. We can think of the believers at the time of Noah, who were caught up in the spirit of the age, such that only eight were saved, and also of Lot and his family, who were caught up in the spirit of their age, and all were destroyed but three.